The world of 911 emergency dispatching is brutally diverse. One minute you can be talking with someone about parking violations.
What's the process we are to take to have people towed? Because it's actually delaying the mail.
And then all hell can break loose. Then the rest of the day is crazy. We could have murders.
Hill County 911, what's your emergency?
I just killed my children.
Home invasions.
He's in my house.
I shot him.
You shot him?
He was coming up towards me and I shot him.
Natural disasters.
Tornado came through and got us. I'm buried under a bomb to roll my life.
Even bombings. My show, Music City 911, will put you in the dispatcher's chair, put you ear to ear with the callers and responders, and keep you on edge from start to finish. I hope to both educate and entertain, as I'm a 911 dispatcher with over 20 years experience. And just like dispatching, every episode is different from the last. Music City 911. Real 911 calls, real 911 dispatchers. Available to listen to on any podcast app.
Did you know Tide has been upgraded to provide an even better clean and cold water? Tide is specifically designed to fight any stain you throw at it, even in cold. Butter? Yep. Chocolate ice cream? Sure thing. Barbecue sauce? Tide's got you covered. You don't need to use warm water. Additionally, Tide Pods let you confidently fight tough stains with new ColdZyme technology. Just remember, if it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide.
I'm very excited to be bringing you this update episode today. In fact, in all of my excitement, I accidentally dropped my microphone off of my desk, and now I'm hoping that it's still working correctly, so I have no idea how this is actually going to sound. But as I said, I'm super excited to be bringing this to you. And if you live here in Calgary, you probably already know what I'm going to talk about, but if you don't, then this might be news for you. So hopefully you guys remember me a while back doing an episode exploring some of Calgary's unsolved murders as a result of a serial killer in the area. Well, it turns out that in fact there was a serial killer working around in the Calgary area, and today 4 of the cases that I brought to you before have now been solved all in one go. And once again, this was using genealogy, which seems to always save the day around here, and makes me really love science. Unfortunately, it doesn't change the outcome of these stories for these girls and women, and also for their families. I can't even imagine the range of emotions that this news has really stirred up for them. There's probably relief, some sadness, a renewed trauma, anger, some happiness, but there's just not going to be justice on this earth, which we're going to get to, but at least there are some answers for them. So let's start with a brief review with these lovely girls' stories, and I'm going to start with the first one. I'm going to do them chronologically, and the most perplexing case first, because both of these cases were actually not ever officially deemed to even be homicides, but the police and the family knew all along that they were. And it turns out, as you're going to see, I think the police really did believe them to be homicides, because they saved some evidence from the scene, but I think publicly they just didn't want to come out with them as being homicides. On Sunday, February 15th, 1976, the bodies of 2 fully clothed teenage girls was found with their arms entwined with each other on the north end of the city near a place that used to be called Happy Valley. Eva Dvorak, who was 14, and her best friend Patsy McQueen, who was also 14. The girls were found under a bridge completely across town from where they both lived in the city's southeast side. They had both been attending Bazalgette Junior High and were both currently on suspension from school. And because there was no visible injuries and no signs of any strangulation or any sexual element to their deaths, it was suspected that they had maybe gotten a ride with someone that they didn't know, and maybe both had huffed like some sort of inhalant and had died. and the person they were with was either dumping their bodies under the bridge or took off from the scene when they died. There had been no toxic levels, though, of any substances in their blood that would have contributed to their deaths, and no signs of hypothermia, so they had not died of exposure. And you'll remember that I didn't really buy the huffing theory because it was too improbable that both girls would have times of death at the same time and under the exact same circumstances. I said that there had to have been somebody with them, and it turns out there had been. And Eva's family has released the following statement regarding the solving of her case, which I promise I'm going to get to after I review the cases with you. Eva's family would like to thank the Alberta RCMP Historical Homicide Unit for their time and dedication on solving this cold case. It does help in providing us with some answers to our long unknown questions and giving us some closure. Eva was loved and cherished by her family and all who knew her. Her bright smile and bubbly personality were contagious, and it lit up any room. When Eva was around, there was no sitting still, always dancing and singing any time of the day. She enjoyed spending time with her sisters and cousins while swimming, roller skating, and ice skating. She is truly loved and missed dearly. And Patsy's family has stated, "We would like to thank from the bottom of our hearts the team of individuals who worked so many days and countless hours on solving this cold case. Without them, we would still not know today what happened to our sister Patsy and her friend Eva. We will be forever grateful and thankful that they never gave up on the girls." A special thank you to Constable Dennis Halvatsia, Constable Lindsay Blair, and Sergeant Melanie Riopol on how they handled presenting the details to our families of the events leading up to their deaths. They were extremely professional and compassionate. Thank you again from the bottom of our hearts. It has been 48 years since our sister Patsy was taken from us. As the years went on, we thought we would never in our lifetime find out what happened on that dreadful day. We gave up hope that one day we would know the answers and finally have some comfort and closure. Our sister Patsy was born September 2nd, 1961, to our loving parents, Alistair and Sarah McQueen. Patsy was one of 11 children, 6 sisters, and 4 brothers. Patsy was suddenly and tragically taken from us on February 15, 1976, at the age of 14 years old. Patsy would be 62 years old today. Patsy was your typical teenager, full of life, adventure, and curiosity. She loved her sports. Baseball was her favorite. She also loved music and would sing and dance to her heart's content. She also loved to joke around and play pranks on you. She made all of us laugh in one way or the other, at ourselves or at each other. She was so strong and independent at 14 years old. She could not wait till she was old enough to be able to travel and see the world, but an evil monster took every hope and dream of hers away. We always wonder what Patsy's life would have been like, what career path she would have chosen, would she have gotten married and had children and been blessed with the joy of being a grandma. In closing, we would like to extend our deepest condolences to the other families who are also involved in this case and hope that you find some sort of comfort and closure after all these years. This evil monster has caused so much pain and suffering for countless families. He took a piece of everyone with us when he took our loved ones. We thank God that he is no longer alive and can never harm anyone else again. Patsy, we love and miss you and will forever be in our hearts. Rest in peace now, our beautiful sister. Also solved is the murder of 20-year-old Melissa Ann Rohorick, who was working as a cleaner at the International Hotel and was planning on hitchhiking to do some sightseeing on September 16, 1976. She left the YMCA where she was staying, and her body was found in a ditch along the Trans-Canada Highway just west of the city limits. She had been strangled and fought like a badass until her last breath from the evidence of the struggle that she put up that was left at the scene. Melissa's family statement reads, "First, we would like to thank the team of investigators who have worked to find the person responsible for these crimes. Our message is one about Melissa being a fun-loving, adventurous, and hard-working person. She was an honest, positive person who trusted people. She enjoyed traveling to Banff for her love of nature, but also to travel for her curiosity about seeing Canada. Our family appreciates all of your help." And then lastly is the murder of 19-year-old Barbara McLean. Barbara's case was linked by investigators to Melissa's, believing that it was the same person, but they hadn't been able to find that said person until now. Barbara had been working at the Royal Bank in Palliser Square, and on February 26, 1977, She was hanging out with her boyfriend at the Highlander Hotel Tavern when they had an argument and she walked away from him to hitchhike her way home. She was found strangled beside a gravel path near 80th Avenue and 6th Street Northeast. There was evidence that she had been sexually assaulted. Barbara's family says, "Today marks a significant moment in the long journey of seeking justice for our daughter, sister, aunt, cousin, and niece, Barbara Jean McLean, one that began nearly 50 years ago. The pain of losing Barbara so tragically has been a constant presence in our lives, but recent developments have finally brought us answers to questions that we've had to live with all of these years. Our family would like to express our deepest condolences to the Rohorek, Dvorak, and McQueen families. We are four families who share a connection of the worst kind of pain, grief, and suffering over many years. It is our hope that we may all find a measure of peace in the days ahead. It is thanks to the relentless pursuit of justice by police agencies and the remarkable advances in forensic genetic genealogy that a resolution to these four historic cases has been reached. We extend our heartfelt gratitude to the dedicated detectives, forensic scientists, and everyone involved who never gave up on these cases. Their commitment not only honors Barbara Jean McLean's memory, but also serves as a beacon of hope for other families still yearning for answers. This breakthrough reaffirms our belief in the power of perseverance and the importance of embracing scientific advancements in law enforcement. In particular, we wish to thank the RCMP K Division Historical Homicide Unit and the Cold Case Homicide Unit of Calgary Police Service. We know these officers are working diligently every day on many historic cases like ours. To say thank you seems so inadequate. Our family feels an immeasurable amount of gratitude for their dedication, professionalism, and not least of all their kindness. It is not an easy or always comfortable field of service. They are true heroes. As we take this time to reflect on our journey and remember Barbara, we ask for privacy and respect. We are grateful for the compassionate approach taken by the authorities in involving us in this process and for allowing us the space to contribute the statement."
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Now, fortunately, there was a wee bit of evidence, physical evidence, left at all three crime scenes that was preserved. In even Patsy's case, this was obviously holdback evidence because evidence that someone else had been there would have probably kept even Patsy's case in the media as murders and not as possible overdoses. However, it was seminal fluid, so releasing that might have resulted in some shaming of the girls because of their issues with school that they had and some hinted at drug use of them. But we cannot go back in time. So during my original coverage, I told you about the police finding Gary McCastoker as a possible suspect in Melissa and Barbara's murders because he had hung himself just days before being questioned about the murder of a 14-year-old girl in Edmonton. And he was a person of interest because the moving company that he was working for after getting out of prison for an 11-year sentence for a rape that he had committed, which was well out on parole for another rape, I'm going to add, moved their operations to Calgary, and he moved here during the time of Melissa and Barbara's murder. However, you will note that my exact words about that were, "It is interesting that police feel Barbara and Melissa's murders were committed by the same person. And if that same person was Gary McCastoker and he killed them and at least two other women in Edmonton, then he was definitely a serial killer. But we can't consider Barbara and Melissa's murders solved because we have no proof. And technically, McCastoker was only a person of interest in Barbara's case." Anyways, when it's all said and done, I'm just very glad and grateful that the police cold case unit did not close Melissa's case as solved because they were pretty sure it had been that McCastoker character, because it turns out it wasn't. And I'm very glad that they preserved the evidence. Like, to me, that's just really remarkable that in the 1970s, when DNA wasn't even a thing, nobody knew anything about it, that they would have the wherewithal to know someday maybe we can do something with this evidence. So I think we really owe a lot to the law enforcement at the time that just knew that someday maybe we could use this evidence. So let's get to the solving. Well, it was in 2003 that the police were able to confirm for sure that Melissa and Barbara had been killed by the same person because DNA was able to be cross-matched. But they didn't have a suspect's DNA in the pool to identify it from. And then in 2021, they submitted a bit of DNA evidence that they had from Eva and Patsy's murders, and those also linked up with that same DNA. So at that time, they knew that they had the work of a serial killer on their hands. The RCMP stated the same unknown male DNA profile was identified on both victims that matched the unknown male DNA profile from the Rohorick and McLean murders. In light of this new information, the RCMP believed that the same male offender was responsible for the deaths of all four victims. So they put their heads together with a genetic genealogy company of course, Green River Killer fame, and worked on whittling the over 300 men long suspect list that they had down to one person. And Inspector Kevin Forson saying, quote, "Our goal is to seek the truth and find out what's happened to these people, and so jurisdiction is not going to stand in our way," end quote. And he was actually matched on September 13th, 2023, but I guess some I's needed to be dotted and T's crossed before they came out with it in the news, which was just the other day on May 17th was the first that I heard about it. Okay, Kim, so who is this creepo evil bastard? Well, it's one Gary Allen Seary. Well, who's that? Well, it turns out he had died in prison in Idaho in 2011, which is so frustrating. Well, what was he in prison for? Well, it was a life sentence for sexual assault, so not murder. No, not at the time. But I bet you a shiny nickel that they are tracking his movements before 2003 when he was convicted on that sexual assault charge and trying to connect his DNA to some other murders right as we speak. Which could turn out to be quite a list of unsolved cases because Gary lived a pretty transient lifestyle and moved around a lot. But while he was moving around, he was also committing crimes, many of them violent and sexual in nature, including forcible rape, kidnapping, and sexual perversion. Now, I have no idea what that last one actually entails. It could be anything from masturbating in public to forcible sodomy on a wild animal. But regardless, he sounds like a complete douchebag. Well, Gary managed to post bail on his rape charge in 1974, which was in California. It is believed that he illegally crossed into Canada and then settled in Calgary between 1976 to 1979 under the names either Willie Blackman or Rex Long and worked as a line cook. And then he also went and spent, after 1979, he moved to BC, sort of in that Fraser Valley area. And he had been located there in 2003 when he was extradited back to the U.S. to stand trial on his original rape charge, which he was given a life sentence for it, but he died 8 years later of natural causes, of course, the bastard. Now, I don't actually know much about this guy because he was actually not known to be a serial killer. But at the time of his imprisonment and death, he wasn't known to have killed anyone. Now, of course, we know better about him, so the RCMP would still like to track all of his movements while he was here in Canada and try to link him to any other unsolved cases that they possibly can. RCMP Inspector Brianna Brown says, "Serious criminality spanned decades over multiple jurisdictions and numerous aliases. Alberta RCMP believe there are more victims." So anyone who recognizes Siri, which of course I'll put a picture on Instagram for you, or knew him by any of his aliases, is asked to contact the Alberta RCMP Historical Crime Unit at K-IDEOLOGY or K-Ideology at rcmp-grc.gc.ca or by phone at 780-509-3306. If you believe Siri may be associated to or responsible for a crime in your jurisdiction, we ask that you reach out to the policing agency within that jurisdiction to report. I'm so glad that these four families finally at least have some answers. This is, I think, a good news story, but of course with some terrible roots and trauma and some horrific evil. And please, for the love of all that is sacred and holy, do not hitchhike or take rides from strangers. It isn't adventurous. It's dangerous. It was in the 70s, and it still is today. And with that, thank you so much for listening, and I hope that I get some more updates on some of the other unsolved cases that I've covered, because I really do not like unsolved cases. I think that the families need answers. Of course, they need the answers more than I do, but I also don't like unanswered questions.